Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to being truly well-informed. Today, we're plunging into something that's, well, it's everywhere, artificial intelligence.
It really is.
And it's not just there, it's fundamentally reshaping our digital lives, you know, how we get information, how we create it. It's moving incredibly fast.
Yeah, it brings immense power, but also, yeah, some intriguing challenges.
Right. So our mission in this deep dive is to unpack that. AI's impact on, say, content creation, optimization, personalization, and even the really complex world of content moderation.
Stuff that often happens behind the scenes.
Exactly. We've gathered a stack of fascinating sources to guide us through this. The goal is for you to walk away with a really solid, nuanced understanding, something that goes beyond just the headlines.
Yeah, it's a journey, isn't it? We'll look at how AI makes content creation just incredibly efficient and tailored right down to the individual user.
Super specific.
But we also have to tackle some big questions, ethical ones, especially around things like free speech, global equity.
Mm-hmm.
It gets complicated. So yeah, the aim is a clear, balanced picture, highlighting some surprising facts, maybe implications you haven't thought about.
Okay, let's dive in. First up, how AI is just revolutionizing the act of writing itself.
The core mechanics.
Yeah. So AI content tools are basically automated platforms using machine learning, right? To make content that sounds, well, human.
Remarkably human, often.
And what's really disruptive isn't just the speed, though that's part of it. It's that these tools make professional grade content faster, much cheaper, and the quality is surprisingly high.
It's a genuine paradigm shift.
It feels like it. It sort of democratizes these sophisticated marketing tools, makes them accessible way beyond just the huge corporation.
Probably redraws the competitive map a bit.
For sure. Marketers, copywriters, content strategists, they're finding these tools indispensable for, well, everything. Blog posts, social media, email campaigns.
And even improving stuff that's already written. Recommendations for enhancement.
Okay, so let's get practical. How does this actually work day to day? You mentioned the SEMrush guide.
Yeah, give some great examples. Take readability, for instance, or making sure content is comprehensive.
Okay.
AI, like ChatGPT, can scan text for jargon or sentences that are just too complex. It helps boost clarity significantly.
So you can actually ask it.
Absolutely. You can feed it a prompt like, please review this text for jargon or complex sentences a general audience might struggle with. Suggest simpler alternatives. Pretty direct.
Wow.
And it can also look for gaps. You know, are there key topics missing that should be there to make the piece complete? You can prompt it for that too.
That's handy. What about things like keywords for SEO?
Right, keyword strategy. ChatGPT can be brilliant for brainstorming, suggesting secondary keywords to improve search visibility.
But just brainstorming.
Yeah, that's the key thing to remember. It's for inspiration. It doesn't have real-time search data, volume, difficulty, none of that.
Okay. So you need other tools for the actual data.
Exactly. That's where something like SEMrush's keyword magic tool comes in.
Yeah.
It gives you the actual search volume, keyword difficulty, or their keyword strategy builder, which helps cluster keywords.
Cluster them.
Into like primary and secondary terms. It helps you figure out page structure ideas, pillar pages, subpages, that sort of thing.
Right, right. Makes sense.
And then there's internal linking. AI can spot opportunities to link pages within your site.
Which is important for SEO distributing authority.
Exactly. And helping users and search engines find related content. You can give ChatGPT a list of your key pages, ask for suggestions, or even paste in the whole article and ask where links might fit.
And you mentioned SEMrush site audit, too.
Yeah, that helps analyze your existing links, find any problems. So AI for suggestions. Tools like site audit for checking the current structure.
Okay, the mechanics make sense, but how widespread is this, really? Are people actually using these tools on a large scale?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. An RF survey, pretty recent, the section 2024 to Feb 2025, asked almost 900 marketing and SEO tros. A staggering 87% use AI to create or help create content.
87%? Wow.
Yeah. And it's not just the tech giants or huge companies. It's across the board. Small companies like 1049 employees, right up to enterprise level, over 1,000 employees.
So it scales well.
It seems so. And get this. 89% of marketing teams with over 100 people are using it.
89. So basically, if you're in marketing or content now, AI is likely part of the workflow.
It's becoming mainstream, fast.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, listening, whether you're a solo creator or at a big team, this isn't some niche thing anymore.
Okay, so people are using it. Why? What's the big driver?
Two big things, efficiency and cost. That same Ara survey found AI users published significantly more content.
More output.
Yep, a median of 17 pieces a month versus 12 for non-AI users.
That's a decent jump.
It is. But the cost difference is even more striking. Average cost for a blog post using AI, $131.
Okay.
Average cost for human-created content, $611.
Whoa. Wait, say that again.
$131 versus $611. That's nearly 4.7 times cheaper with AI.
That's huge. That changes everything for budgets.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. It means the same budget can go way further. And 38% of the people surveyed said they actually saved money on writers.
How much?
An estimated average saving of $603.
Okay, but does this mean writers are just out?
Well, that's the crucial nuance. The experts, including those at Arefs, stress that AI is mostly being used by skilled writers and engineers.
Ah, to enhance, not replace.
Exactly, to improve quality, increase output. It's often a tool for leverage, a strategic advantage, not just a replacement.
That's a really important distinction. Seeing those cost differences, though, it's almost jarring. Makes you think, if you're a content agency or a writer yourself, what new questions does this raise?
It definitely forces some strategic thinking.
No kidding. The data really paints a picture of AI as this, well, undeniable force for scaling content and targeting it better. Okay, let's switch gears a bit. We've talked about creating content. What about how AI shapes our personal digital experiences?
Personalization.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just writing articles. AI is tailoring our whole online world. Often without us even noticing how deep it goes.
Right, like my social media feeds just seem to know me.
Exactly. There's a fascinating study from Uppsala University that looked into this. Specifically, AI personalization and customer experience, CX, on TikTok.
Okay, TikTok. Makes sense. Their feed is famous for that.
Totally. They surveyed 365 TikTok users. Quantitative study. And they found a significant positive relationship between that AI-driven personalization and the user's overall experience.
So the better the AI predicts what I like, the better my experience feels.
That's what the study suggests. It really highlights how central AI is in shaping how we interact with and feel about these platforms.
So if you've ever lost an hour scrolling your For You page on TikTok, you're living this.
You are indeed.
How does TikTok actually pull it off? What's the mechanism?
Well, its algorithms are working constantly, in real time, analyzing your behavior, how long you watch a video, what you like, share, comment on, who you follow.
All those little signals.
Uh-huh. It builds this incredibly detailed profile of your preferences. Then it dynamically picks content for your feed, often anticipating what you'll like before you even know it yourself.
It's predictive.
Highly predictive. And the study pointed out it's not just serving content. TikTok's AI also enhances creating content face filters, smart sound editing, even helping users find new connections.
So it's layered. What kind of personalization did the study identify?
They broke it down into a few types. Content personalization, obviously, but also message personalization, location-based stuff, and the core recommender systems themselves.
Okay. And how did this affect the customer experience dimensions?
Good question. The study's model looked at a few key areas. First, emotions the AI curated content can evoke comfort, satisfaction. It feels like the platform just gets you.
Yeah, that resonates.
Second, the cognitive side. It saves you time and mental energy because it serves up stuff you like right away. Makes the experience feel effortless.
Less searching, more watching.
Exactly. And third, the social dimension.
Okay.
While not about physical interaction, online interaction, sharing, commenting act like modern word of mouth, shaping the overall experience.
Makes sense. Did they have hard numbers on the correlation?
They did. A strong positive correlation, Pearson's R, was 0.796, which is high.
Huh.
And it was statistically very significant, p-value of 0.0000.
Okay, so a clear link.
Definitely. Their regression analysis suggested that about 63.3%, almost two-thirds of the variation in customer experience could be linked back to that AI-driven personalization.
63%, that's substantial. It really shows how powerful this tailoring is.
It really does.
Which, from a business perspective, I mean, that's a huge opportunity, right? For marketers, brands, leveraging AI to tailor messages, drive engagement.
The study absolutely highlighted that strategic opportunity. Deeper engagement, more satisfaction. It's what businesses are striving for.
But it does raise that question. If it's so personalized, does it become a walled garden? Do we miss out on different perspectives?
That's a critical question that hangs over all of this personalization tech.
Okay, so AI brings incredible benefits, efficiency, great user experiences, but here's where it gets maybe more complicated. The flip side.
The ethical considerations.
Exactly. There are general concerns with AI content creation, right? Potential for fake news, inaccurate reporting. You need to be vigilant about quality ethics.
Absolutely. Fact-checking, source verification, still crucial.
But let's narrow in on a really critical area, AI-driven content moderation on social media.
A huge challenge. Research from the Cambridge Forum on AI, law, and governance really digs into this.
And what did they find?
They highlighted a pretty concerning discriminatory impact of AI moderation, particularly hitting harder in the global south.
Discriminatory? How so?
It shows up in two main ways. One is over-removal, basically, censoring content that's actually lawful, often stifling legitimate speech.
Okay. And the other?
Slow removal.
Yeah.
That's failing to take down genuinely harmful stuff quickly enough. Both of these things tend to worsen existing inequalities and impact free speech.
What causes this? Why does the AI get it wrong, especially in certain regions?
Several factors. Limited financial investment by the big platforms in those regions is one. Then there's inadequate language training to the AI. It struggles with local languages, dialects, cultural nuance.
Context is hard for AI.
Very hard. Plus, there can be underlying political or corporate biases baked into the algorithms or the policies they enforce. And fundamentally, there are power imbalances. Governments in the global south often just don't have the same clout to influence platform policies as, say, the US or EU.
So are there specific examples of platforms struggling with this?
Yeah. The research points to documented patterns with Meta, for instance. Undue censorship, like removing posts, restricting accounts sometimes for months, limiting features, or even shadow banning.
Shadow banning, yeah. Where your reach just plummets without warning.
Exactly. Reduced visibility, no notification. It's hard to even know what's happening.
And global examples.
Well, Meta's approach to election moderation has been criticized for focusing heavily on the U.S. while maybe neglecting non-Western, non-English-speaking countries.
Right.
Then there's the really serious case in Myanmar, where Meta's own engagement-based algorithms were found to have contributed to amplifying anti-Rohingya hate speech.
Wow. Did they acknowledge that?
They did, yeah. Meta admitted its role and has taken steps, like hiring more Burmese-speaking moderators. But it shows the potential harm.
Any other examples?
Challenges in Bangladesh with hate speech around religious tensions. The AI struggles with identifying harmful content in Bangla. Concerns from Africa, too, highlighted by groups like SOPESA.
About what specifically?
About Meta's policy changes, just given the huge linguistic and cultural diversity there, varying digital literacy levels, unique issues like specific types of hate speech.
Yeah.
And then there was that case in Kenya where Meta terminated its East African content moderation contractor that led to legal action.
So it's complex, and the impact isn't evenly distributed. What about oversight then? Who's watching the watchers?
That's the million-dollar question. Platforms often try to self-regulate.
But is it enough? Or just PR?
Well, there's definitely debate. Are these measures robust or are they superficial? Especially when corporate interests, you know, profit motives, can shape the policies.
How do different places approach this legally?
It varies a lot. Take the U.S. versus India. Yeah. The U.S. leans towards free speech absolutism, relying on corporate self-regulation. Section 230 is key there.
Right. The law shielding platforms from liability for user content.
Exactly. It protects speech freedom broadly. But critics say it lets harmful content slide.
And India.
India uses more of a hybrid model. Constitutional free speech, yes, but also significant government intervention. Laws like the IT Rules 2021, Digital India Act 2023.
What kind of intervention?
Things like government power to mandate content removal, setting up official fact-checking units, which naturally raises concerns about potential political suppression and privacy. Two very different philosophies.
And the balance between human moderators and AI. You mentioned Meta hiring more people.
Yeah, even the CEOs of the big platforms, Meta, X, TikTok, Snapchat, Discord, they all acknowledge you need human moderators. AI can process scale, but it lacks that nuanced understanding, the sensitivity to context.
Humans are still essential for the tricky stuff.
Absolutely. For attentive oversight.
What about transparency? Do companies tell you when they're using AI? We talked about AI creating content.
That Eris survey had a really surprising finding on that. A huge 84% of companies using AI for content do not disclose it to their website visitors.
84%? That seems high.
It does. Although the insight from ARIS experts was interesting, Google doesn't seem inherently against AI content.
Oh.
The key is it must be useful and helpful for the user. Quality, uniqueness, demonstrating real experience expertise. That's what Google seems to care about, AI generated or not. Eat signals.
Experience, expertise, authoritativeness, trustworthiness.
Right. So quality trumps origin, in theory.
That seems to be the message.
Before we wrap up, are there any limitations we should keep in mind about the research itself? It's always important. The Uppsala University study on TikTok, for example, acknowledged its own limitations.
Like what?
Things like generalizability. The sample size wasn't huge, and it skewed towards younger users, mostly 18-34. There was also potential sampling bias from using specific survey platforms like Google Forms and Wenwangxing.
How so?
Well, it might not fully capture differences between, say, the Chinese version of TikTok, Douyin, and the international version, or broader cultural and regulatory differences globally. Plus, relying on closed-ended questions limits the depth of insight you can get.
Good points. Crucial for context.
Definitely. Understanding these limits helps you see the full picture. And of course, underpinning all the personalization stuff are inherent privacy concerns. AI needs vast amounts of data to work that magic.
A data trade-off. Okay, so pulling this all together, what does it mean for you, the listener?
We've seen AI as this incredibly powerful engine, right? Driving efficiency in content creation, enabling deep personalization.
Radically changing how stuff is made and consumed.
For sure. But we've also walked through the complex ethical tightrope it involves, especially in content moderation, where the impact can be really uneven, sometimes discriminatory, particularly in certain parts of the world.
So navigating this AI-driven world requires what? Critical thinking?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As consumers, it's about being aware of the mechanisms behind those personalized feeds, understanding how content might be moderated, often invisibly.
And as creators or businesses?
It's about using AI's power responsibly, transparently, making sure what you produce isn't just efficient or engaging, but also ethical, accurate, and genuinely valuable.
Okay, final thought to leave everyone with. If AI personalization makes our digital worlds feel, you know, more comfortable, more effortless, because it just shows us stuff we already like, how might that also be subtly shaping our perspectives, limiting our exposure to the new, the challenging, the unexpected?
The filter bubble effect amplified.
Right. What responsibility do the platforms have? And what responsibility do we have as users to make sure our For You pages don't just become echo chambers, reflecting back only what we already believe?
That's the lingering question, isn't it? How do we balance convenience with intellectual curiosity and exposure to diverse ideas in this AI-curated world?